Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is your host, Jamie Russo. Thank you for joining me. We are midway through January, cruising along, looking forward to 2021 and onward and upward. So today's guest is Kelsey Sizemore. She is the Community and Marketing Manager at Forge in downtown Birmingham. I interviewed Kim Lee, who is the founder and CEO of Forge, on last week's episode. So if you missed that, you might want to go back so that you can kind of tie the two together. I had this idea of doing an owner community manager series because I find that operators are already always curious about the dynamic, how to find a great community manager, how the team is structured, how the team works together, et cetera. So if you missed my last owner community manager series, you can go back to episode 175 and 176. We have the team from La Suprema Works and Events in Tucson, Arizona, and we had some great feedback on that series. So I think you're going to enjoy my interview with Kelsey today. She has a little bit of a unique role because she has a heavy marketing hat. So she talks about that role, her professional background before co-working and how that prepared her for the role, what she loves about the role, what she finds to be a little bit challenging. She gives some advice for folks that are looking to hire a community manager, talks about their team structure, how they handle scheduling, you know, who's in the space when, what their team meetings look like, et cetera. So it's a deep dive kind of behind the scenes with Kelsey at Forge. And the Forge team just launched their own podcast, Building Birmingham Together. I wanted to make sure to make special mention of that if you missed last week's episode with Kim Lee. If you're thinking about starting your own podcast, then definitely check it out. Kim and the team do an amazing job. I've been listening to it. I think that the internets think I live in Birmingham because I follow Forge so closely. And I love the podcast. Kim's a great storyteller, interviewer. So definitely check it out if that's sort of in the back of your head of something you might want to consider. Kim's podcast is a great model. And that is, we'll reference it in the show notes for Kelsey, also in the show notes for Kim's interview if you check that out. So quickly, before we dive in, if you are working on opening a co-working space, I want to invite you to join me for my free masterclass, 3 Behind-the-Scenes Secrets to Opening a Co-working Space. If you're working on starting a space, I want to share 3 decisions that I've seen over the years successful operators make when they're creating their own co-working business. It's a free masterclass. It's about an hour. If you'd like to join me, you can register at everythingcoworking.com/masterclass. And the other project I've been working on is I have launched a private podcast around working with community managers. So if you already have a co-working space and this episode has you thinking about your team, your community manager, adding to your team, the profile of a successful community manager, the hats that your community manager wears, how you structure your weekly meeting, et cetera, I've created a private podcast feed on this topic. So the way this works, it shows up in your podcast app. It doesn't work on all the apps, but it works on Apple Podcast and most of the common apps. It's not in it's not public, so you have to subscribe to the feed, but it shows up in your podcast app just like all your other podcasts, which is a super cool way to share audio. So to grab that and get that showing up in your podcast feed, go to www.everythingcoworking.com/CM podcast. And the feed will show up wherever you listen to your podcast. So subscribe today, and we will dive into our episode with Kelsey. Welcome. I am sitting here today with Kelsey Sizemore, who's the community manager and marketing manager for Forge in Birmingham, Alabama. Kelsey, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Kelsey's wearing a very festive green sweater for anybody who's not watching on video. We're recording right before Thanksgiving. So we were just talking about how much we love Christmas movies and Christmas sweaters. Kelsey, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, probably Christmas Vacation. That was just a
classic. Oh, the funny one. Okay. I like it. Yeah. Mine is A White Christmas, kind of old-fashioned snow. I won't sing, but I love the music in that movie. I can't believe actually that we haven't watched it yet. You know what? I live in Northern California and it doesn't snow. I mean, we drive to skiing, but it is sort of weird to get into the holiday mood when it's, oh, you don't snow either. You don't have snow.
Maybe once a year and it's like a very light dusting. So
yeah. So you're used to it. I grew up in upstate New York where like it snows very seriously. Mm-hmm. And so to me, Christmas is snow. And so it's kind of weird to get into it with it's raining today, actually. Okay. So I'm excited to talk to you. So I interviewed, Alex will have aired before you. I had this idea. I've talked to owners who are like, what does a community manager do all day? What does a good one look like? What hats do they wear? Like they're curious about profiles and, you know, what do great community managers look like? And I have known Kim now for years, and she always has such wonderful things to say about you. And now you're in the community manager group, Manager University program. So I get to hang out with you a little bit more. So I thought it would be fun to do a little series where we interview the owners and then their better halves, the community managers. So yeah. I interviewed Alex today as well. So let's just start from the beginning and weave in some personal details, but tell us your co-working story. How did Kim rope you into Forge? Did you know what you were getting into? What did you do before Forge? All those good things.
Yeah, so I had a good friend who knew Kim's family, and she knew about the job opening at Forge. Forge hadn't opened yet, but Kim had started posting things about looking for a marketing and community manager, and I was looking for a new job. I had only been at the job I was at for a few months, but it just wasn't the right fit. And so my friend approached me and said, I think that you would like this job. And my friend was actually a community manager for Industrious in Atlanta.
Oh, that's so interesting. So she understood.
Yeah. So I think that Kim had actually reached out to her asking her, what's your experience like, you know, at your job? And what do you think I should be looking for in a community manager when I hire for Forge? And so my friend was like, I think you should talk to my friend Kelsey. And so it worked out really great. The timing was crazy because I'd only been at the job I was at for a few months. And I accepted the job the week I was getting married. And so it just felt like a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
But it's been really great. And I felt like I knew it would be a good fit. Just reading the job description and hearing from my friend's experience working at Industrious, just getting to hear about all the different things that she got to work on and all the people that she met, thought it would be a lot of fun. And I had worked for a startup in Birmingham, and we were based in another co-working space.
Okay.
That's really like just an incubator, but, but I had that experience with a startup. And so it made me really interested in the startup culture.
I feel like anybody who's worked at a startup is a good fit for the community manager role because you have to have that mindset, especially one space that's new. I mean, you started at Forge before Forge opened, and I'm guessing your friend at Industrious had no idea what you were really getting into with Kim, because your space is sort of on the, you know, far end of the spectrum in terms of really engaged in the external community, heavy events, member and community events, which is not necessarily the Industrious model. So dove right in. What was your major in undergrad?
It was public relations.
Okay. So kind of marketing hat. Mm-hmm. And was the role you had before you went to Forge your first job out of undergrad?
It was not. I graduated from Auburn University, and then I moved overseas in China doing college ministry.
Oh, wow. Super interesting.
Yeah. So I lived there for 2 years, and I actually felt like, you know, doing college ministry and having a really relational job.
Yeah.
Really is similar to a community manager role in a lot of ways. So I did that for 2 years, came back, worked for the startup for 2.5 years, then had this other short job in between coming to Forge.
Okay. Got it. What experiences would you say, you kind of mentioned you thought the college ministry role was a good fit, from your professional background prepared you for the community manager role and the marketing role, which we'll talk about in a second, because not everybody explicitly includes that as part of the title.
Yeah. So I think majoring in public relations helped me be a better fit for this role. But honestly, I had not had very much marketing or PR experience except for internships in college. So I feel like that I've just learned a whole lot over the last three and a half years at Forge. But I do think the startup culture I had been in helped me prepare, I think, just for a lot of multitasking and basically just being ready to jump in for whatever is needed at Forge. And then, like I said, being in a ministry role prepared me for a lot of the relationship building that happens here.
Yeah, I love that. How far in advance of Forge opening did you start your role?
I think between 2 and 3 weeks before we opened the doors.
Okay. So not that far. So you dove right in. People always ask, like, how far ahead of time should I hire somebody, you know, for people who are hiring their first? And I'm like, as soon as possible, because it's like drinking out of a fire hose when you open. You know, so many processes and documenting and figuring out how things actually work and trying to market and get people in the door at the same time. It's so much to do all at once. Yeah. So you kind of,
I think when I first got here, we were unpacking furniture. And
so. Right. Totally. You're still in the assemble furniture, figure out where it all goes mode.
Yeah.
We'll talk about what your team looks like today. And I know that would maybe look different if we didn't have COVID. Kim talked about, just so for anybody who didn't listen to the episode that I did with Kim, who is the founder and CEO of Forge, we talked more about her Forge story and how Forge came to be and the expansion that you've done over time. So started with 5,000 square feet. Now you're up to 13,000, which is a lot of space for your lean, mean team. So yeah, talk a little bit about what your team looks like, what your role looks like, and kind of how you all interface. And I also, this is kind of a big question, all wrapped into one. I'd love to hear about your interns and how they're working and what you're up to, because both you and Kim have kind of hinted at that going well.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really just me and Kim here full time. And then we have Caitlin, who is part time, and she was hired about a year ago as the, like, her title, I think, is hospitality and events coordinator.
That is what Kim said. Yes.
And so we, at that time, had a lot of events and meeting room bookings. And so she was hired primarily for that. And now, because of COVID, she does do, I think, just a lot more of the operations and detail focused things around Forge. And of course, when I'm here, I'm doing some of that too, but I'm primarily focusing on marketing and community building and doing everything else around the space. And she's great at getting into the weeds of our operations and systems, which I really appreciate.
Well, so I love when you have a space that's big enough for two people, I think that's ideal. It sounds like you kind of think that's ideal too, because I think it's really hard. The community manager role, so yours explicitly community building and marketing, but operations is really the other big bucket. And sometimes there's like financial account, you know, not bookkeeping, but some, you know, making sure everybody paid and reconciling and all that good stuff. And that's a lot of hats for one person. And it's usually not the same profile of person that enjoys all of those things. So it sounds like you are sort of a good yin and yang.
Yes, it was a huge relief when we hired her. because I realized how like chaotic my job had really felt.
Yeah.
And for her to take over a lot of that stuff that I honestly don't feel like I'm that great at, is great. And she loves it. Like she loves building his Excel spreadsheets and getting into the weeds with stuff that I like, oh, I just don't feel motivated at all for that.
I think that's pretty typical and challenging because Kim and I were talking about, you know, the co-working business is not hard per se. It's not a complicated business. And yet there's so many things you have to do well, right? Community building and hospitality and all the operational components of things running smoothly and being a good experience. And so, right, there's a lot of stuff. And if some of that is not kind of your passion or zone of genius, what would you say it is in the role that gives you the most energy?
Yeah, I think building relationships with members, seeing them get connected with each other and helping each other and us finding ways to help them is definitely a really fun part for me. But I do really enjoy having a wide range of responsibilities. I remember as we were thinking about hiring Caitlin as a part-time person and thinking what would her role be, Kim, you know, kept asking, what kind of things do you want taken off your plate?
Right, right. What do you want to get rid of?
Yeah, it was kind of hard to figure out because I was like, I actually do enjoy like, you know, whether it's like setting up for meetings, giving tours, making coffee. Like I enjoy having a wide range of things to do. So it's all fun to me, except for the Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. It's so you embrace the diversity of the day.
Yes. Yeah. I like that every day is a little bit different.
How do you handle you have marketing under your hat. How do you get that done? So I assume, do you spend time at the front desk?
Yes. So when Caitlin is here, when she's here 3 mornings a week, I work from home.
And okay.
So that's when I feel like I have dedicated time.
The case before COVID or did COVID sort of open up like, oh, this works. I actually get things done at home.
Yeah. And I think even if we were both still coming here at the same time, I would just have to go
hide out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love that structure. So you get kind of focus time to get things done.
Yes.
If you, so is there only one of you? How do you handle staffing the space?
Yes. There's only one of us here at a time.
Yeah. We'll see if that works post COVID.
I know. I don't think that it will, if things go back to at all how busy it was. Because really before COVID, we needed both of us here because we were usually running around helping people.
Just too much traffic in the space, 13,000 square feet. And then some of that expansion space is event space. And Caitlin will be busy with that when that starts to pick up again. But that's a lot of space for one person to manage.
Yes. So,
yeah, 2 people and to still get anything else done. What if you were to sort of give us a pie chart of what your typical week looks like? What are the pieces of your pie and how big are they?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest piece is marketing, and then a little bit smaller would be sales and community building. And then probably the smallest is operations because of Caitlin's help. So
yeah. What do your marketing activities consist of primarily?
Yeah, so I'm usually looking at, Kim is still helping a lot with Google and Facebook ads, but it's something I've been learning slowly and want to be able to take over totally. But I'm always, we do a weekly newsletter that's sent to all members and our whole
list. Yep.
So I'm doing that and all of the social media, which I think, even though the social media has like gotten more routine and I've learned how to do it over time, it still takes a lot of time for me to just plan it out and, you know, think about all of the different topics that we want to showcase on our social media. And then I'm also just giving tours and following up with leads and all that kind of stuff too.
So that's still on your plate. Yeah. Yes. Yep. I just subscribed to your newsletter, by the way. I think we were talking about that in the group and I was like, I don't get their newsletter. So I immediately started to get your sequence. So
great.
I'm excited to check that out. Yes. And I told Kim, I always use Forge as like the best practice in marketing and website. You've got, you just check all the boxes of all the things that should be done well. Do you get a lot of traffic on your live chat? I always see your face pop up when I go to your site to take a screenshot for something that I'm doing.
I'm really glad that we added it because we get a lot of leads from there. And I just think people are always surprised that there's actually a person responding. It just automatically goes to my Slack. So even if I'm at lunch or something, I try to respond and say, oh, I'll call you.
You can tie it to your Slack. I should do that with ours. That's a great tip. Yeah. Because then you could probably send it to a group Slack so anybody can grab it.
Yes.
Love that.
People do use that a lot. And I think, you know, there is a lot on our website. And even though I feel like we try to make it as clear as we can, there will still be the questions like, are y'all open even though COVID's going on? Or
people are lazy. This is the reason for live chat. I think it's just people are lazy and that's a reality. And so if you can serve them and answer their lazy questions, then they might come to you instead of someone else. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, before we leave the team, you mentioned interns. Have you had an intern program before? How long, how is it going for you? What do the interns help you with?
And we have had, I think we've had 5 or 6 so far. Usually 1 or 2 at a time.
Okay.
Generally, it's been a really great experience for us. Of course, it takes some planning for us to figure out what we want them to work on before they come. But I do feel like there's always a running list of projects. We use Notion. So we're always adding projects there that, you know, maybe aren't high priority right now, but would be in the
parking lot. Yeah. If we had an intern. Yeah.
And so we've had them do all sorts of things. A couple of our interns have been great at photography, and that's been a huge help. Taken a lot of pictures of the space and taken photos when we've done events, and we've been able to use them on social media or in our website. A lot of them have done a lot of blog writing, which I normally do, but I feel like that can get exhausting. So that's a huge help. And then, like I said, our intern right now is doing most of the podcast prep. So it's been great. They're also going up to put out flyers around different apartment buildings and coffee shops and gyms and breweries around downtown. That's another job they're doing this week. And they're putting out yard signs.
Tell me about the yard signs. I had not heard that.
We just ordered yard signs. I think we got like 150. Which we're going to put kind of all over.
Do you have to ask permission for, I suspect, the yard owner? Do they knock on the door?
We're going to try and do it in like more public places, like in medians and stuff. I guess wherever you see other ones, then you feel like you could also add yours.
Let's it roll. Huh.
But all it says is, are you tired of working from home?
Work at like it. Even if they don't last very long. This feels interesting.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've never heard of anybody mention that idea. You have to let us know how that goes.
We saw another company, a startup out of Birmingham that's like a babysitting app. They put up a bunch of yard signs all around town. And
right, that's such a startup, like grassrootsy, let's put yard signs up. Nobody thinks of it in traditional marketing. So I love your borrowing their idea. And that's the perfect activity for an intern to do.
Yeah.
How do you find your interns? Where do they tend to come from? And are they getting paid or credit and or both?
So our interns have not gotten paid, but a few of them have gotten credit if they've needed it. Okay. Some of them haven't. Like the girl who's helping us the most right now, she actually just graduated from college, but she just hasn't found a job yet. And she had a connection to Kim and she was like, I would love to come work.
I would love to work for free for you.
Yeah, like have something else to put on her resume, have totally. Somewhere to go every day, right. to have a routine, you know?
Get out of the jammies, have some purpose in life. Yeah, I think that's a bit, I have been thinking I need to get my act together and start leveraging that because, I mean, it's great for them too, because what else would they be doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe living with their parents, going crazy.
A girl who has a membership in our space is a college student, and she uses it because she has a side hustle, but she also comes here to study. And she told us, like, y'all need to have a special student discount because so many of my friends are doing internships where they have to work remotely in
2020. Oh, yep.
Right. So they would love to come here instead of working from.
Totally. And they could be together. They could have coworkers. Yeah. Have you done a student special yet?
We're thinking about it, but then I'm also a little nervous because college students kind of feel like the spreaders, but I.
Oh, college students are not to always be trusted.
Yeah. But we're thinking about it. We have an intern discount, but it's really just like for our members who hire interns.
Yep. That is tricky. I didn't think about that okay, we'll give it a little time.
Yeah.
So after the holidays. Yeah, totally. I know, but they're so lonely. I feel for that age group because it's like such a social time in life.
I know.
And to have that taken away. Anyway, we won't talk about that. Okay. I love your, and how long do you have a program? Do you keep them for a year or, you know, kind of what's the expectation?
One semester.
Okay.
I know you asked how we find them.
Yeah.
Stanford University and University of Alabama at Birmingham. And we've talked to both of those. I guess it's like their internship coordinators for like the business school. We have been in contact with both of those schools. So that's how we've ended up with interns.
Cool. I love it. So one more question about how your team works. How do you, I assume you have a weekly meeting. Tell us kind of how do you guys stay, you know, priorities aligned, make who's on first, all the things.
Yeah. So we have we use Notion and we have a page for each weekly meeting. So we're going over our mission, values, customer service guidelines. We do all of that in the same routine every single Monday.
I love it. Every week.
Yeah. Trying to memorize our mission and values. And we talk about our wins from the last week. So each person will share or we'll talk about a win that we saw for the other person. And then mostly just going over our goals, what we're what I'm going to do with marketing in the coming week, what events are coming up. And then we're looking at website traffic, the tours we've had, new members, all that stuff.
Yep. KPIs. And you do that every single Monday.
Yes.
Yep.
And the interns join in on that too, so that they can, you know, hear about what the company is based off of. And then we'll talk about what their duties are for the week and stuff too.
Yeah. Gives them context. I also think that's such a good learning opportunity because for those folks who aren't getting jobs after graduation or, you know, that's such a critical component of like working in a company is having meetings and having, you know, accountability and things that you're, you know, working on and accomplishing. So it's great that you include them. Tell us, let's see, what are you up to in terms of community building during social distancing? Any creative ideas that you've tried?
So at the beginning of COVID, we were having a lot of virtual happy hours and things like that. But now that we have more people coming back into our space, we have started to do a few more in-person events because of the space that we expanded to in March is pretty open. The windows can be open too. So we've had new member breakfast so people can meet each other because I just hate feeling like people join and then there's no, like, I do know that people here will introduce themselves to each other, but there's just not a way to like really get people connected. So we've still done a couple of those. We have like show and tell lunches where people will get lunch from the food hall downstairs and then just talk about the things they're working on. If they want advice or anything, they'll talk about just different projects and stuff. And then we've had a couple of happy hours too. So, and they're usually 5 to 10 people. So I feel like it's, you know, the people who are coming here already are comfortable doing those things. So
Yeah. And it's working and they're coming because they need space or they need the interaction and you can do it kind of safely. And still, I know the new member piece is really challenging because I've heard so many people say, especially their open space members have like totally turned over, you know, like they lost and now they're replacing. And so there's so many new members that aren't getting, you know, really integrated into the community because the typical events are not happening. So it's like being intentional and thoughtful and trying to keep those things going so that they have the same experience because that plays such a big role in retention.
Yeah. And it feels like a lot of the new members for us are remote workers. So it's a different type than you had before. And maybe it tends to be that remote workers might not care as much about the community, but I still think they want to know people in the space. So
they're humans too. I think Kim, you know, shared a lot of sort of the why around supporting new businesses and local businesses and small, you know, more of an entrepreneurial focus. And so the remote workers don't really fit that. I think a lot of owners are struggling with that. Like, how do we sort of integrate them and knowing that they're a segment that's out there that, you know, is looking for a solution. And when we need members, you know, okay, let's, you know, figure out how to make it work. But they have different needs and different whys. But I think, right, they're humans and they need the social aspect and they want to develop professionally. And who knows, maybe some of them will start to think about, you know, being entrepreneurs. I think there's always that shift that happens whenever there's a major kind of economic shift or something big, like a global pandemic. If you were going to give someone advice who's hiring their first community manager, what three qualities would you tell them to look for?
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. I think I would say a hospitality mindset is the most important. And then probably a good multitasker and good written and verbal communication.
Totally. You know, I love that one because there's so much of it and we don't even not in a marketing role, right? But although every community manager is usually deeply involved in sales and that they're doing tours and following up and that makes such a big difference, I think. I mean, they're really representing the business and there's a lot of little communication, even if they're not writing blogs or doing some of those higher level marketing activities. That's a great one. Yes. Yeah. And right, while we're told multitasking doesn't work, it's such a an unavoidable part of the community manager role. You have a formal front desk.
We do.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's multitasking plus like knowing which task to prioritize too, which has taken me a while to figure out.
Get into the groove for sure. Kelsey, you are also a member of Community Manager University. Can you talk a little bit about your experience and what would you tell someone who's considering the program?
Yeah, I really have loved it so far. I think I'm really thankful that we did add a team member at Forge, but I think generally community managers feel a little bit alone in their role. And so I've loved having just another way to meet people who are in the same role and have that camaraderie and just to be able to ask each other questions and get advice, because usually we are all dealing with similar issues and problems in our spaces. So I've loved having that outlet and knowing that it's easy to communicate with people from all over and just get to hear about people's cool experiences in the cities where they live.
Yeah, we just added the group from Kenya, and I love getting to know, I did a one-on-one with their owner, and it was super interesting just to hear about their environment. And, you know, I've never been to Africa, so it's a neat, yeah, experience. And I love having folks like you. I know you're great at your job, and to me, they're, you know, you want to know that the people in a group are getting good advice. And I think it's a very curated group of very passionate, talented community managers. So I look at you as sort of a mentor. You've been doing this. So you've been doing this for 3 years now.
Yeah. 3 years.
Totally. So you're a pro. So I love that you're in the group and giving great advice, you know, and getting something out of the group as well. But it gives me comfort to know that you're in there and supporting.
Before the community manager university, I was always asking my friend who worked for Industrious, and her experience is so different than ours as smaller space owners and stuff. So I was always asking her about events, or maybe we have an issue with someone, like, have y'all ever dealt with this? And it just wasn't the same type of situation ever with them. So I've enjoyed this a lot more.
Yeah, good. Kelsey, I'm going to let you kind of get back to your list of to-dos, but thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and give everyone, you know, a little behind the scenes and your background and what it's like to be a community manager. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.